Guys, we're back with another episode. Thank you for being here. It's another good week. Some good content for you guys. We're excited to bring it to you. Thank you for listening to the show. If you guys are new to the show, my co-host Dante and I talk about politics, pop culture, entertainment. We talk about it all. It's always a good episode because in a way, y'all don't know what to expect, and we love keeping y'all on your toes. So feel free to subscribe. Feel free to tell a friend about the show. Leave a letter. More on that in a second. And subscribe wherever you're listening. We really appreciate hearing from you guys. That's why we have the anonymous link in the description. That way y'all can send in whatever you want. Ask us a question. Give us a comment, a concern. All of it, we love hearing from you guys. Feel free to follow us on the Instagram page. All of that is linked in the description. And get into the show. Dante, did I leave anything out? Would you like to tell the listeners anything before we start?
We could use some ratings and reviews. You know, they never hurt. But you covered everything else. You know, spread the good word to the people. If you like it, we love it. Tell somebody else about it so they could love it too.
Actually, let's talk about the statues thing. So in our episode a couple weeks ago, we talked about statues. It was actually for my Off My Chest. If you guys are new, Off My Chest is a segment where we get to rant about anything that we want. So if there's something that occurred in the week that we must speak about, that we have to get off our chest, that is the segment for that. So in that episode, I was talking about how in Brooklyn, they unveiled a statue for George Floyd. And at first I was like, okay, this is cool. But on second thought, I was like, I don't know if this is the right move. I feel like in theory, it might have seemed like a good idea to put a statue of George Floyd, somebody that was the face of the Black Lives Matter movement through his death. But whenever the bust of him was unveiled, I was like, maybe this isn't the right move, because I feel like we shouldn't be erecting statues of people that were killed due to police injustice. We erect statues of heroes. And to me, all George Floyd did was die. And not that that's all that his life's value is. Obviously, he's a human being and human life has value. But in the grand scheme of what he represents, he was somebody that was killed unjustly. So I felt it was kind of weird to then create a statue in memory of him when I don't think the statue of him is what we should be reflecting on. It's more so the continued fight for racial injustice or racial equality. So I feel like maybe a Black Fist or something would be better suited for a statue rather than an individual, because I kind of think it opens a Pandora's box where when somebody dies due to police violence, oh, they get a statue and they get a statue. And soon it'll be like a graveyard of all these people that have died. And I don't think that projects the feeling that a lot of people think that it projects. But that's just me. So Dante told y'all that he'll marinate on it and come back next week and give us his thoughts on it. So here's his space to say whatever he needs to say about it.
I like how you talked about the you get a, like sounding like Oprah. You get a statue. That was good. But the broader point and the more serious point that you made about, you know, this could open a Pandora's box, and now we're just, it's basically a statue graveyard of all the people that we're putting up. How I feel about statues is it's to immortalize something or someone. And what you said about George Floyd is true, that the movement and moment is bigger than the individual in this sense. So there could have been a better, I don't know, better imagery or something used to put up a statue there. I am not extremely opposed to it. Like I said on here plenty of times, and anytime you can get me talking about it, I'll be happy to share my thoughts, that the statues that I oppose are Confederate statues because these people committed treason against the United States and raised arms against this country. So that's not American. That's not American history. They were traitors and they shouldn't be immortalized or celebrated at all. So those are the statues that I have problems with. But besides that, you know, I'm not super opposed to the George Floyd statue. I understand what you're saying about it. And, you know, like we said on our last episode about sometimes you have to draw the line places, and where do you draw the lines? Actually, it was on the Sha'Carri Richardson episode. You know, where do you draw the line? OK, we're going to give her a pass because she failed a drug test because her mom died. But what happens to the next person that their grandparent died or something? Do we say, okay, it's okay? Or do we make a rule that, okay, if you had somebody in your family die, it's okay if you fail a drug? Right. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it can snowball and turn into a bigger thing. But on statues, I'm only opposed when it's people of evil. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that we should just give things a second thought. I feel like I said earlier, things in theory sound good, but then when it's actually enacted, it's like, maybe we should have thought about this more before we put it up. Because maybe some people might view it as it's not fair to put one of George Floyd, but not one of Trayvon Martin or Tamir Rice or all the other people that have been killed at the hands of police. I think that if you're going to do one for one individual, you have to do it for everyone. And since maybe a graveyard of dead people that are police victims isn't what we want, maybe we should rethink that and, I don't know, give things a second thought. But that's just me. Maybe y'all agree, maybe you disagree. That's the point of the show. We love to debate and discuss things. So if you guys have a thought about what we said, tell us what side of the fence you fall on in terms of statues and what they represent, I guess. The next segment that we have is listener questions. So y'all came through, we asked, and you guys answered, and y'all came through with some questions. So we're going to answer one this week. And if you guys want to know how to leave us a question, click that link in the description. And if you follow us on Instagram, there's a link in the bio where you guys can access the link to ask us anything. And it is anonymous. I have to say that on every single episode because some people think there's a way that we can see who sent stuff in. There isn't. And I'm glad that we don't see who it is. There's an element of surprise that I really appreciate. So in that case, when y'all do send a letter, let us know where you're tuning in from so we can connect the dots and look at how cool it is to see how we're connecting to so many people. But Dante, you have access to the question. What is our listener question for this week?
All right. Our listener question this week, the person goes on to state, "Great show, guys. Continue to keep up the great work. I have a question for the two of you. I have a friend who's wanting to experience being in a relationship since they've never experienced one. And I have had to remind them that there's nothing wrong with being single because it's better than settling with the wrong person. It seems like they're understanding, but at the same time, they're not. What advice would y'all give them as single people not wanting to be single anymore?"
Okay. So first of all, thank you for writing in. We love hearing from you guys. So continue to write stuff in. We love it. As the resident single person on this podcast, I don't think there's anything wrong with being single. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to be in a relationship. I think that the problem arises when you're wanting to be in a relationship at the expense of your happiness. It's cool to be in a relationship, but also there's issues when it comes to being in a relationship. And sometimes it's not all what is cracked to be. My advice would be get on the apps. Get on your Tinders or whatever. Put your foot in the water and
hot girl summer.
It's hot girl summer. Have yourself a hot girl or hot boy summer. I don't know if you're a guy or a girl, but have yourself a hot boy or hot girl summer and just test the waters. And I don't know, we're all young, so I feel like test the water, see what you like, see what you don't like, and you never know how a relationship might manifest from that. You might not even be thinking seriously about a relationship, but things happen and you might like somebody and then hit it off well and then you're in a relationship. But at the same time, if you're single and if you're happy being single, there's nothing wrong with being single. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Your time will come. Just do you. And if a relationship comes, then I hope it's a good one. But sometimes people force themselves to be in a relationship just to be in a relationship. I think we all know those people that break up with somebody and immediately they have to be in another relationship without getting time to readjust and reevaluate themselves, what they want and how they've grown from that previous relationship. And they're just relationship hopping and not, you know, growing as a person. And I don't think anybody wants that. So, you know, enjoy your singleness. If, you know, the right person comes along, explore those options and then let us know how that goes for you.
That was great. I want to touch on the last thing you said there. You really need to take time to unpack between relationships. And I know that this person that you're referencing has never been in a relationship, but I wanted to expand upon what Justin said there because that's super important. Like, you have to take time to unpack from previous relationships before you should go jump into another one because that's not healthy. You know, my advice to this person is sort of along the lines of what Justin said, you know, start driving the boat, get out there, live your life. But here's the thing. You can't force a relationship. Like, you don't look for love. Like, love just happens. I'm a firm believer in that. You don't go out looking for love. You don't go out and say, I'm going to fall in love with this person. It just don't work that way. You can't force feelings and chemistry and things of that nature. You can fake it, but you can't force it. So
say that one more time. One more time for the people.
You can fake it, but you can't force it. That goes for love, for chemistry.
This is why we have Dante on the show. Look at him and his little catchphrases. Y'all, by the way, these are not rehearsed. Dante did not rehearse that. He just comes up with these. This guy is crazy.
Yeah, that was off the top of the dome. I should have been if I was born in a different generation, I should have been a slam poetry session person spitting that hot shit.
For that.
But No, on a serious note, you don't want to settle and be with the wrong person and make every aspect of your life miserable. And you'll end up hating that person and resenting them. And that's not what you want out of this life. So what I suggest, you go out there, you live your life. You don't block blessings and different things that could come to you. You just go with the flow and live life, see what happens. And if you end up connecting with the right person, explore it and see what happens. But to make sure you don't get yourself hurt, you should tell people, hey, I ain't out here fucking around just to fuck around. I'm looking for something mm-hmm. serious. Because that way, no lines can get crossed, nothing can get blurred. Everybody's on the same page and the expectations were set from the beginning. That's my advice to you.
And I think that's good advice. We really try with these letters that y'all send to give the best possible advice. We love your letters. Keep sending them in. You, I'm talking to you that's listening right now. You probably haven't sent something in. Make this the first time that y'all send something into the show. We want to hear from you guys. So never feel afraid to reach out. Even if it's not the anonymous thing, we're really active on Instagram. So if you guys want to follow us or chat with us in the DMs, feel free to do that. One of us will, you know, get into contact with you. And thank you again for sending that.
Hold on. That's not always true. Because if you message us and tell us that you've never listened to our show, but you're messaging us, we're not going to respond. You know who you are. Yeah,
that gets on my nerves. We get so many random DMs from like sponsors and all these different people trying to get us to have them as a guest on the show. And they started off with, I've never listened to your show. That's the end of the story. That's all I need to hear. Thank you. Come again. I'm all good.
I stopped reading after that. I was like, oh, so you never listened to the show. What the fuck conversation should we have now? How about you go listen to a couple episodes and then we could talk.
Do your homework. Do your homework. Nobody wants to come into anything cold. So there's that. But thank you for writing in. So let's move on to Off My Chest. Justin's got to get it off his chest. Dante has got to get it off his chest. Justin and Dante got to get it off their chest. All right. Thank you, Julia. So Dante, you go first for Off My Chest. What do you want to get off your chest this week?
What I want to get off my chest is kind of something more positive. Or, yeah, listen, you should be unapologetically you at all times. You shouldn't change yourself or what you're about for other people. And that's a lesson that I learned a little later in life. It's not so much I care what like people around me thought, but like in terms of career and everything, I cared about a certain image I had to uphold and a certain image I had to, you know, present. And now I'm unapologetically me. What made me think about this is I'm unapologetically black. Like, I'm showing up to these meetings in my suit with these braids in my head. Because what you going to say to me? Are you going to say that's not my natural hair? Is that breaking some sort of code or rule? So I want to stand in that. Like, I'm unapologetically black. You know, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And I'm black, so I can't live it any other way. Don't feel pressured to conform, you know, to the people out there. Don't feel pressure to conform your hair or whatever it may be. Live your life. You know, if you got piercings, you know, wear your tattoos out, you know, if you want. Don't feel like you need to hide it. Like, the workforce in the world is changing and we're going to be the people in charge shortly. So be you. And if we establish this stuff now, it will be the norm when we're in power.
It's true. It's called breaking the cycle, breaking the chains. We're staunch believers of not bringing to this generation the traumas of the past. Not saying that conformity is trauma, but it could be trauma for some people having to conform and change who they are in order to adapt to the standards of society. That's not fair. Not everybody can fit this cookie cutter description of what is the ideal person. Everybody is different. And I think that we're a better society when we accept those differences and embrace them, because diversity is a good thing. Don't let anybody fool you.
Be you, love it, revel in it. And if they don't like it, kick rocks. That's a censored version of it.
You heard it from him. You heard it from him. Dante and I were talking before we started the show, and we were talking about cultural appropriation. You know, we like to think, we like to talk. We're always having deep discussions, and we were talking about what is and what isn't appropriation. So I was telling Dante that I went to my favorite, I don't know how to say, gyro spot. It's Middle Eastern food and I love it. And I was telling him that it was really good. And then Dante was like, oh, is that cultural appropriation because you're eating another culture's food? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. But from that conversation, we started talking about, you know, different people coming into other people's community and profiting off of stuff that's theirs. And then I was like, you know, all those Asian businesses that, you know, sell black hair care, I think that's appropriation. But then I was like, wait, is it appropriation? Because the hair that they're selling isn't hair that grows naturally from black people's head. Remy, Brazilian, Yaki, this and that. I'm like, that is not, you know, hair that grows in our head naturally. So are we appropriators, or is that not appropriation that they're having these black hair care businesses? What do you think?
I mean, I want everybody to know, I said that to Justin and Jess. Like, that was a joke when I said eating somebody else's, you know, another culture's food is appropriation. Like, I don't believe in that. You guys know how I feel about the appropriation stuff. A lot of times it goes way too far. We're going to open a Pandora's box. We're going to get down to a point where it's like, hey, you know, if your people didn't invent this, you can't do it. You can't listen to this. You can't eat this. You can't wear this, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck about none of that. That's the saying of my life. I don't give a fuck about none of that. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm just not going to disrespect people. You know, if I feel like I want to go eat Chinese food, guess what I'm going to do? Eat Chinese food. That's not appropriating somebody's culture. That's, if anything, that's patronizing your culture and enjoying it and sharing in it. I wish we would have been recording when Justin and I had that conversation. You could hear the light bulb switch on in his head like I did when he was like, but wait a second. If the hair isn't black, or what's going on here? Are we appropriating the culture? I don't know. That's the first time that, you know, that thought's crossed my mind when you brought it up. You know, if black people are putting the hair of another people in their head, is that appropriating culture? If they're putting it in a black style, like, what are we doing here? This is the shit that I hate, man. This is shit that I hate. What are we doing here?
You know what? I think that maybe not the hair that they're selling is appropriation. You know, if they're profiting off of stuff that is ours, I think more so with the hot combs and the edge control and the hairsprays and stuff that we use, the pomade and stuff, y'all aren't using all that. Like, that's stuff that black people use. So I think in that sense, that is appropriation, because they're profiting off of stuff that only we use. I'm not saying that a white person can't come in and buy a hot comb. I'm just saying that traditionally, who uses that stuff? Who uses relaxer and all that? Black people do. So I don't know why, you know, somebody that's not black would be selling stuff like that and profiting off of stuff that's from our culture. I think that in a way is appropriation.
Right. And that I can understand and get behind. But to just, you know, if you were on here saying, hey, these Hispanic people went to a soul food restaurant and enjoyed the food, or these white people, you know, Hispanic people, whoever, they wore a braid in their hair for their playoff game or their MMA fight. Like, come on, man, that's not appropriating nobody's culture. Like, we're all people. Like,
it does get tiring. I will say, when I listened back to last week's episode, you brought up an example of like a lemonade stand. And I think you said that if white people have a lemonade stand, if a black person does it, is that appropriation? I don't think that has any cultural ties, like a lemonade stand. How does that apply to somebody's culture?
White people did it first. That's how, right? Like, how can, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's why a lot of the conversation to me is frustrating, because it's like, okay, so are we just having a draft and saying, okay, we claim this and we claim this? And then, you know how what happens when you open a Pandora's box, things get a lot more segmented. So then you'll be like, light skinned black people did this, or black people who immigrated to America did this. And then we could just keep going down and down and down the rabbit hole.
We're missing the point. I don't think it's about people enjoying other cultures' thing. I think it's about giving credit to the people that pioneered certain things. Because we saw with Addison Rae, the TikTok dances. She didn't come up with those dances, but yet she was propped up there on Jimmy Fallon. And it's almost like she's the originator of all these trends, when it's the black people that created all of that stuff. So that's what people are talking about with appropriation.
And that's what I agree with. Yes. Yeah, that we did a whole episode on that. That I agree with. Like, cite your sources. That's fine. But speaking of appropriation, I know there's something else you want to get to.
Yeah, so Dante actually put this story in our queue, and it's about Iggy Azalea, the once famous rapper from Australia.
The shade.
Once famous rapper. Who that? I had to do that. She's back again with another song that I don't think people are really paying attention to. I think the song is called I Am the Strip Club.
Oh my God, he's killing her.
I don't know who's listening to that, but she released a video, and in the video, she had noticeably darker makeup. And the article that Dante sent me was about blackfishing. Is that problematic that she's darkening her skin to achieve a certain look? And if you guys don't know what blackfishing is, let me quickly look up a Urban Dictionary definition. Blackfishing is commonly perpetuated by females of European descent, which involves artificial tanning, spray tanning, and tanning boots, and using makeup to manipulate facial features in order to appear to have some type of Black African ancestry. The general point of blackfishing is for a female of European descent to appear of African, Arab, or Hispanic ancestry. Some consider it to be equivalent to modern-day blackface because it capitalizes off the looks of historically oppressed groups of people by people who come from more privileged backgrounds. So that's basically what blackfishing is. People trying to emulate certain features. It's kind of like featureism in a way where people, maybe they don't want to be Black, but they don't want to look white. How about we say that? They're trying to look racially ambiguous.
Yes, that's it right there. I call it spicy white. Mm-hmm. It's an aioli and not a mayo.
Right. Being white is not okay anymore. You have to be something else in order to get some edge or be trendy or whatever. Like, being white is not enough, and I don't know why that is. Well, I do know why that is.
That's what I was going to say. Like, this goes into my off my chest. Like, love yourself, love your features. Like, of course, if there's something that about you that you think can be enhanced, then do that, right? Like, women get their nails done, men, we get our hair cut or we grow our hair out, we have certain hairstyles that we like, all that stuff. But if you're trying to change the core of what you look like, that's a problem. This ain't the lady that was in that fancy video, and that's the problem that I have with it. Mm-hmm. Is you're out here trying to look like something completely different than you're not, and it's not Halloween, it's not a costume. Like, you're being serious about this, and that's the issue that I have with it.
Right. And I've always had this issue, or I wouldn't go as far as to call it an issue, but I've always thought it's weird, like tanning in general, darkening your skin to look something that you're not. Like Ariana Grande, there's plenty of people that aren't familiar with her, but think that she's not white. She's a white woman, and she heavily tans and looks a certain way. And I know her fans have come at me before and said, you're not being fair, or that was a bad picture. I think that she tends to look a certain way. I think it's easier for her to get away with maybe making trap music if she has a darker hue. Don't you agree, or do you disagree?
I mean, first of all, can we talk about how her last name is not Grande?
What is it, Grande?
It's Grandy.
My grandpa said Grandy.
So should we all be saying Grandy?
Well, my brother kind of changed it to Grande because, like, Grandy was kind of like the, like, I guess Americanized version of it, you know, like made it more like, you know, chill, like whatever. And then my brother was like, we should say Grande. It's so fun to like say it. It's like funny. It's like a funny name.
Oh. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. We're not going to, I don't want to upset the whatever her legion of little 14-year-old fans are called. Y'all can keep that noise. Can you say that again for me so I can answer your question?
Yeah, I think that there's certain artists out there that really play on trying to look racially ambiguous so people aren't sure what their race is, so they can get, like, I guess, I don't know what to call it, clout or cool points for not being white.
Crossover appeal.
Yeah, crossover appeal.
So they can be like, hey, I can get played on this station. I can collab with this artist and nobody's going to raise an eyebrow. Like, I think about the Pussycat Dolls and Nicole Scherzinger. You look very spicy. Your last name is Scherzinger. That don't sound spicy. So what's going on here? You know, I mean, so that's the type of people that I think about when you bring this up. But Iggy, no, we know who you are. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there ain't no question about that.
Mm-hmm. And what bothers me is that it has effects on our society. And people are like, Justin, you're going too far. But it really does. If you look on certain threads on Twitter, people will see a picture of some white woman with a tan and be like, oh, she got some Black in her. She's not Black. What's wrong with y'all? It's almost like we've forgotten what a real Black person actually looks like. Like, these people are not Black. Just because somebody has some curly hair or a little tan, that doesn't make them mixed or anything.
But you know what? It's crazy because as a Black person, sometimes it's hard to tell. Like, I sent you somebody before. I think, I don't know if it's a celebrity or what. I was like, yo, is this person Black, Justin? Or are, right. Are they just spicy?
Right. I mean, the person is white. Like, let's just call it what it is. And I think that it goes back, I'm telling y'all, it goes back to the whole idea of the one drop rule, where we classify anybody that has a drop of Black as Black. I think that's very harmful. But I think that we need to stop claiming people as Black or claiming people as whatever and just call them mixed. And then they can choose whatever they want to identify as. Because I feel like sometimes they have to choose one or the other. But I think that we shouldn't be going out there and be claiming, oh, Alessia Cara. Oh, I think she's Black. Because I don't know if you know who Alessia Cara is. People are like, oh, I think she's Black. Are y'all blind?
She's the scars make you beautiful girl.
Yep. Yeah.
So what is she then?
She's white, I think. I think she's not, wow. She's not Black. She's not Black or mixed or anything. I know for sure she's not Black. Let's just keep it at that.
You learn something new every day, because you could have got me. I could have thought that little girl was at least on that half and half.
The half is not black, according to the streets. I don't know, but I'm not claiming anybody.
According to the streets?
She doesn't even look racially ambiguous to me. That's what the streets are saying. I'm just reporting what they're saying, so y'all don't take it out on me. But it's true.
Justin reporting live from the block.
I'm telling y'all, a lot of people are trying to, you know, get away with looking racially ambiguous for clout, and I'm calling a stop to it. I don't want to see it anymore. Because I'm glad I remember this. Michael Jackson, I don't know if you remember, in an interview with Oprah back in the day, he was talking about tanning even back then. He talks about how these, you know, European and white people tan their skin and make their skin darker to look like something that it's not, and nobody ever says anything.
Okay, number one, this is the situation. I have a skin disorder that destroys the pigmentation of the skin. It's something that I cannot help, okay? But when people make up stories that I don't want to be who I am, it hurts me. So it is. It's a problem for me, okay? I can't control it, mm-hmm. okay? But what about all the millions of people? Let's reverse it.
Okay.
What about all the millions of people who sit out in the sun mm-hmm. to become darker, to become other than what they are? Mm-hmm. Nobody says nothing about that.
I've said in an old episode that we need to look at tanning the same way we look at black people bleaching their skin. Like, why don't we look at it the same? You hate yourself and you're trying to make yourself something that you're not.
Here's my thought on that. I think that they're not looked at the same way. One of the reasons is because tanning is not permanent. The bleaching of skin, to my knowledge, is permanent. If I'm wrong, please let me know. I know that you love to let me know when I'm wrong. So you will let me know if I'm wrong. But I think if that's the case, I think that's why it's looked at different, a permanent versus a temporary. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, if there was a way for people to permanently darken their skin to be medium or whatever, they would do it. So just because a method hasn't been found yet doesn't mean that they wouldn't do that if that was available to them.
I'm not discounting what you're saying. I was just letting you know that that's probably why they're not viewed the same, because one's permanent, one's temporary.
Right. Because tanning is bad for your skin and bleaching is bad for your skin. So I think in our society, we need to look at them both the same way. I think it's strange. Love your white skin. What's wrong with that?
Oh, and you know, another reason it might not be looked at as weird, if we're talking specifically tanning booths, okay, I get what you're saying there, but if we're talking about just naturally being out in the sun, it occurs naturally that your skin's going to get darker by being in the sun, because it happens to us too. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why. I'm just mm-hmm. playing devil's advocate here.
No, you're right to play that, in the sense that if you're out in the sun, like, some people do get darker, and that's fine. I'm talking about artificially making your skin something that it's not. If you're doing that, why are you doing that? Love yourself. That's the message of this podcast. Love yourself. That's all we're trying to say.
As some of y'all's goat would say, you should go and love yourself. That's some of y'all goat. It ain't my goat, but I heard the song before. It's one of the two songs of his that I know.
Bieber. One day we'll talk about him, but today's not the episode for that. You guys, if you don't know who Felicia Rashad is, she is the actress that played Bill Cosby's wife in The Cosby Show. You know, she's regarded well in the black community. People love her. And she's also a dean for Howard University. So when we talked a couple weeks ago, we talked about how when it was announced that Bill Cosby was getting let out of prison, she tweeted immediately and was like, "Thank goodness, a big injustice has been reversed." And people were in her DMs and calling her out, and she turned off comments on her post and released an apology. So I guess in this headline, it says, "Return the millions Cosby donated if you want to fire Felicia Rashad," the actress tells Howard. So since she's a dean of Howard, obviously there's a conflict of interest there. If you're a dean and you're publicly saying that Bill Cosby, a serial rapist, you're happy that he went free, and you're a dean on a college where rapes happen, I wouldn't trust that you would make the best decision for your students. So a lot of people have issues that she's still, you know, in place at Howard University. So there are calls for her to be fired. And because of that, I think she responded and said, "If you're going to fire me, return the millions that Bill Cosby donated if you want to fire me." So this got people talking. Dante, what do you think about what she said? Should Howard have to return the money if they're going to fire her?
Me personally, I love the energy that she's bringing to it. You know, they can come out and have all these strongly worded statements against what she said, even though she was wrong, you know, against what she said and against Bill Cosby as a person. But yeah, return the money that Cosby donated to you. Then if you find him so abhorrent, don't act like, "Oh, we're, you know, we disagree with Bill Cosby, we're going to take his money." No, if you stand that strongly about it, give the money back. You know, we see time and time again over the past 3 years, these companies will say the right thing until it affects the bottom line, or they'll start doing the right thing in air quotes when it affects the bottom line. Last month, certain companies changed their logo to rainbow colors in support of Pride Month. But what are you doing for the LGBTQ plus community? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't know if this quote was directly from her, but whoever said it, and if she did say it, I agree with you. Put your money where your mouth is. Get that money back. It's tainted money. Give it back.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly. Let me say that since I didn't read the article, that's just the headline. But in that headline, it says the actress tells Howard. So I believe that that's what she said, or at least something along the lines of what she said. Allegedly. So, you know, I actually disagree with you. Well, I think that bad people can do good things. Bill Cosby, I don't think, is a good person. But I do think that bad people have the ability to do good things. When Cosby donated that, there wasn't all of this, you know, fervor about his rape allegations and all of this. So he donated that in good faith, and they accepted it in good faith. I think it would be different had he donated the money now and they accepted it. Then I would say, no, if you're standing against him, don't accept his money. But if you're donating to charity and you're doing it in good faith, and we think that it's coming from a good person, that's a good faith charity donation. So we're going to accept that. I don't think they owe him anything. If they don't stand with what he's doing right now, he donated in good faith. So we're not going to go back in time and retroactively demand for money back. No, you did a good thing. Let that money stand. We're not going to accept your donations if you try and donate in the future. And that's how it should be.
So that's interesting that you talk about the retroactive piece of it. You know, somebody can be employed by a place, but an old tweet resurfaces, and you just said, you know, bad people could do good things, right? An old tweet resurfaces and they can get fired for something retroactively that they said or did. But in this instance, you're saying that Howard shouldn't pay the money back retroactively.
No, because they already spent that money.
Hold on. So, yes, obviously they already spent that money, and it's not like the man is probably hurting for money. It's the principle is what they're talking about, mm-hmm. I'm assuming from reading this quote, right? I think they're standing on the principle of it. You think I'm bad, give me the money back that I donated you to help you out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Retroactively, you're saying retroactively they shouldn't do it because at the time they thought he was a good person doing it in goodwill for good reasons.
Correct.
I wholeheartedly believe that's what they thought was going on. But retroactively, people can be fired for something that comes up from their past, right? How do you delegate between the two? Because I'm very interested in hearing it.
Because it's a donation. You're giving money to charity. So if you go to prison one day, should the charity have to give back the money that you donated? I don't think so, because you donated in good faith. Now, let's say that you're a murderer and you decide to donate to charity. That charity doesn't have to accept that. And if there's calls for them to reject your money, I feel like they have every right to listen and make the best decision for them. When it comes to a job and people tweeting, you know, that's a completely different thing. Because you're adding value to the company by working there. But if you and your beliefs or whatever are antithetical to what we stand for as a company, then you don't represent our values and we should let you go.
Right. What you just said is very interesting, you know, about a murderer donating money to an organization and the organization could turn it down. But what if they're going to help people by getting that money? That goes back to your point about saying bad people could do good things. If you were in that position, would you take that publicity L to be like, hey, look, I understand everybody's, you know, concerns about this and how you feel about it. But at the end of the day, by us accepting this money, we're going to be able to help people. And that's been our mission from the beginning.
No, because they're a university. There's other ways to receive money. You know, if they don't get this donation from Bill Cosby, they're not going to crumple, you know, as a university. Make a character judgment check. And if you don't want to do that, they don't have to do that if they don't want to. Personally, if it was me, I would not accept the donation if he's donating right now with his credibility being that of a serial rapist. If it was before, then yes. But now, no.
And you know, I guess by rejecting certain people's donations, if they're an abhorrent person, you could get 10 more donations from people being like, hey, I like the way you stood up to that because you turned down money that was going to help you and help you help people. Here's double of what he would have donated. Like, that stuff can happen. So that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. You know, stand on your principles. And if you don't feel comfortable, you know, accepting his donation, don't accept it. But if he donated like 10 years ago and Felicia's asking it that they give that money back, no, because it's been 10 years. That money has probably been spent. So we're not giving that back if it was a good faith donation, because that's weird. Then anybody can be like, well, this person, you know, because honestly, if you think about it, anybody who's ever donated somewhere, I'm sure they've done something terrible at some point in their life. So should they have to, you know, should these companies give donations back to all these people that did terrible terrible things, I think that that would be stupid, and that would be, you know, a lot of energy spent when it doesn't need to.
That's why we have this show, so we can talk out these thoughts and opinions. Real quick, before we move on to another topic, some of y'all's favorite app I enjoy watching on there. It's like going to Walmart for me just online. Twitter said they're removing fleets on August 3rd because they're working on some new stuff. So, you know, post your videos while you can, your little snaps, and August 3rd, you won't be able to do it anymore. A lot of people thought that they were biting from Instagram, who bit from Snapchat, so this is where we are. They're working on something new, and I know Justin will be on there using the new thing as soon as it drops, and he'll be able to give us a review of it.
No, I don't use Twitter. I don't, but I will say, for those of y'all that do use Twitter, I don't know a lot of people that tell me that they use fleets. And under this tweet, somebody commented that they should remove threads, remove quote tweets, remove comment options, just keep the retweet and like option, and remove accounts that spam, remove accounts that fight, remove abusive people, remove school-going students. Thank you. So do you agree with that?
You gotta keep quote tweets. So many people have gotten the smackdown on a quote tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like a picture like this you. About them contradicting themselves, like you got to keep quote tweets. That's the lifeblood of it. But everything else, I'm cool. If you get rid of everything else, you keep likes, retweets, and quote tweets. Outside of that, I don't have a need for anything else.
Because that's what I was gonna ask. I was gonna say, if they're removing fleets, what updates would you like Twitter to do to make the experience better? Because I know that for a while they had 140 characters, and then I think they doubled it to 280 characters, and I think people are liking that. So what else would you like to see Twitter improve on, or should they keep it the same?
Sometimes if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I feel like the fleets, they were trying to fix something that wasn't broken because they were trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know?
Leave well enough alone, as Dante says sometimes. Maybe that's the case.
Sometimes leave well enough alone. What's our last story here, Justin?
So what we're talking about for this last part is... I don't know if y'all know, but Allison... It's not even funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. Allison Mack, she used to be an actress on Smallville. Y'all might have known her as Chloe, the blonde-haired girl. So apparently she was like a recruiter for like a sex cult, and she was sex trafficking people or recruiting people for a sex trafficking operation. It finally got busted a couple years ago, and I think she pled guilty and she outed a lot of the, you know, members that were deep within that cult that she was a part of. And it's crazy that she went from, you know, a working actress to now a recruiter for a sex cult. But basically, she got 3 years for what she did, and she did a lot of damage. There was a lot of girls that they recruited and a lot of girls and women that were harmed by what she was doing. So the guy that was the head of this, I think he was sentenced to 120 years in prison. But her, she pleaded guilty, and she also ratted out a lot of the people that she worked with. So because of that, and because of how cooperative she was, they're deciding that they're only going to give her 3 years. And it's interesting because I always talk about how this justice system is not fair. It's interesting that this white woman gets 3 years, but I tell y'all to think all the time. If she was not white, do y'all think that she would get only 3 years in prison? Ask yourself that.
What I took away from that, obviously, it's a very serious crime that she committed. But what the thing that stuck out to me is that you said the leader of the cult or ring, whatever it is called, got 120 years. Mm-hmm. Do you think when sentences like that are given, that it's supposed to be a deterrent? Because obviously this person is not going to live 120 years to serve all of that sentence. Do you think it's like, hey, this is what happens if you commit a crime? Or is it a number that they have to give because they got found guilty on so many charges that the total adds up to that?
I think that that's just the offense that he committed, and that's what they felt would be justified based on what he did. I don't think that it's supposed to be a deterrence, because if there was a deterrence, we would see no crime in the world, but crime still occurs. So I don't think crime is a deterrence, or people getting punished with 120 years or the death penalty is a deterrence, because people still do those things anyway. So if it really stopped people from doing that, then we wouldn't see that happening in the world. But obviously, that's not what's happening right now.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, that's what I wanted to ask about it.
So we kind of wanted to bounce off of this story by talking about crime and punishment, and whether crime is supposed to be, you know, rehab, or is it supposed to be punishment for the offenses that you committed. So Dante wrote down, if somebody has paid the price for their time or offense, should it follow them forever? So my question to you is, like, what specifically are you talking about? What kind of crimes do you think should or should not follow people?
Well, I mean, that's tough, and that's kind of why I wanted to open up the discussion, because I think that obviously there's levels to this. You know, if you're a serial rapist, if you murder somebody, if you touch little kids, things of that nature, it should follow you forever, because what you did is evil. But if we're saying that somebody got arrested for selling drugs, they did their 20 years and now they're back in the society, should they always be punished for this? Should they not be able to have job opportunities to improve and build on, you know, try to make a better life for themselves after they've paid their debt to society? That's literally what they call it, right? You get sentenced, you fulfill that sentence, you're supposed to be even now. That's the way it's supposed to work in court, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that my question is more so about the court of public opinion and not the actual judiciary.
I think it depends on what you did, like you said. If it's murder, if it's rape or whatever, I feel like that follows you forever. I don't see a way for those people to come into society again and just act like everything is normal and we fully embrace them again. But some people out there do. And if you have that opinion, I'd love to have you on the show to pick your brain on crime and punishment in this country, because it's a complicated issue that people have a hard time answering. What is our prison system supposed to be? Is it punishment or is it rehab? Maybe it depends on what you did. If it's like a drug offense, maybe it's supposed to be rehab. We're going to put you in for this time, but at the same time, we want you to learn your lesson and learn why what you did was wrong, and we're going to push you out into society again. But at the same time, whenever you're an ex-felon, you can't do certain things. There's certain jobs that you can't apply to. If anybody's applied for a job, they'll have that thing. Are you a criminal or whatever? And when they see that, people don't want to hire you. So it's like, if you're sending me out into the world to be a better person and to make changes, why are you limiting my opportunities? Is that just the way it works because of what I did? Is that my scarlet letter? That's what a lot of people are asking.
And, you know, you said, like we both said on here, right, there's levels to it. So here's an example I would like to ask our listeners, and write in and tell us what you think about it. DM us, do whatever you got to do. Michael Vick, right? We all know the dog fighting thing. He spent his 2 years behind bars. When he got out of prison, he was able to go play in the NFL again. Do you agree with that? You know, he served his time that the court said, hey, this is the time that we're assigning to you based on the crime that you committed. Is that fair? Or, you know, I kind of want to pick people's brains on this and see what they think about it, because certain things shouldn't follow you forever. But like we said, there's certain atrocities that you can commit that should follow you forever, but we're talking about, you know, average run of the mill, like let's say it was tax evasion or something like that. Should this person ever be able to work or vote again?
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that.
Isn't it true that whenever you go to prison and come back, you're not allowed to vote anymore and take part in our democracy?
Yeah, if you're a felon, you can't.
Because people think that that's not a good thing, that we have that system in place where if you commit an offense, you're not able to vote anymore, and they take that away from you. People say that that's infringing on your rights as a human being and as a United States citizen. Would you agree with that? Do you think that people should be allowed to vote if they, you know, came out of prison?
If you served your, yeah, I mean, that's what we're coming down to in this conversation, right? If you served your time, yeah, you should be able to have your right to vote. I'm on the spot thinking about this, you know, maybe if it's a thing where, okay, you have to wait a period of time after you get out before you can vote again, you have to go apply to vote again and all that stuff. Sure, we can discuss stuff like that, but I don't think that you should not be allowed to vote the rest of your life,
even if you commit murder or rape.
Like we said, there's levels to it. So yeah, for certain offenses, I think it should come with different levels of punishment, even continuing outside of when you are released, if you're ever released in those cases. But if we're talking about anything that's non-murder, non-physically harming a kid or raping someone, things of that nature, I think you should be able to have your right to vote.
Okay, so you think that it depends on the offense. So you just said like murder, rape, what else is a bad thing that people do? Murder, rape,
touching kids,
molestation. You said for those things that they shouldn't get the right to vote anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as we're talking through this. You got caught. I mean, how many times have we seen this? It's a true story, right? Person gets caught selling weed, not a substantial amount, but because of mandatory minimums, they have to do time behind bars. So now this person can never participate in our democracy again because they got caught selling weed. I just don't agree with that.
Well, I like what you said. And for somebody being on the spot, I think that you had a pretty good response to my question. You said that maybe there needs to be some kind of system where you have to apply to get your right to vote again. They strip it from you, but when you're putting yourself back into society again, you apply for that and then you get your right to vote again. If it's not murder, rape, molestation, or whatever terrible thing that we can't think of right now, right?
Right, right.
I think that's interesting. Some people said it's both, like prison is rehab and punishment. I say if it's rehab, you can't take away people's right to vote. Because if somebody's supposed to be a better person, if you learn and you're a better person now, why don't you have the right to vote anymore? If you made a mistake, as terrible as it may be, you know, I don't think you should get your rights stripped if it's not murder, molestation, or whatever other one that we listed that I can't remember right now. I don't know. If the point is re-indoctrinating these people into American society, they should be able to have the full rights afforded to them again. Because they went in, did their time, and now they're coming out. And hopefully they won't do those things again because it's rehab and you're teaching these people how what they did is terrible and they're working on how they're going to fix what they did to be a productive member of society.
Exactly. And I think that it should be both, like you said. I think that it should be rehab and punishment. Like, you should be in there serving your time for the crime you commit, but you should also, there should be a system in place that is trying to rehabilitate you and make you a better person and be a functioning member of society so you're not struggling when you, as soon as you get out. Mm-hmm. You're not lost the moment you leave that facility.
Well, I have to ask the question, like, do you think that a molester can be rehabbed? Is there something wrong with them mentally that can be fixed to allow them back into society again?
If you're talking objectively without bias, I can't give you an answer on that. I haven't studied that and researched that. If you're asking my, you know, how I feel about it, there, you can't come back from that, in my opinion. You harm little kids, defensive little kids. There's a special place in hell for you in my book. And if people disagree with me, that's fine. It's my hill to die on. I'm not backing down from that.
And what we didn't mention, like, violent criminals, should they be able to, I guess, get reacclimated to society again?
So that's the one that's interesting, you know, like, how does somebody, how do you really rehabilitate something like that? You know, you went to jail for assault or, like you said, domestic abuse, you know, is there, that's why the system should be better, where you're making these people take classes and make strides and you're getting to the cause of why they like to hurt other people and do all this stuff instead of just having them in there making license plates. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that time and those tax dollars should be allocated to making these people better functioning members of society. So when they get out, we're not paying for them still, because that's how you get conservatives on board with it. Hey, let's invest in them while they're in there when it's cheaper. So when they hit the streets, we're not paying for them. That's just me being an optimist and idealist.
Right. Because some people might argue that certain people are too far gone. Like, if you're a repeat offender, or maybe we need to look at it holistically and say, let's say that you're not a repeat offender, and maybe repeat offenders we can put into that category of murderers and rapists and molesters, people that have done it multiple times and something's not clicking and nothing will ever click. So we'll throw them in that category of people that we say shouldn't get the right to vote if they ever come out, right?
Right, right. That's okay. Fair.
Like, first time offenses, maybe that's something that you can learn from because you did that one time.
Yes, and for the most part, and unless it comes to certain things like we've mentioned on here, people fuck up and people make mistakes. If you constantly make the same mistake, that is a pattern and that is a trait.
I can agree with that somewhat, because it's one thing to do something once, but 2, 3, 5, 6 times, there's a pattern there. And after a while, especially with the offense, depending on what the offense is, I don't think that you can rehab that person. But you know what? This is interesting because I was reading an unpopular opinion on Reddit and somebody said felons should have the same rights as everyone else. And they go on to say, if an individual makes one major screw up and ends up in prison, it can ruin their entire future. I completely understand and agree with inmates being punished for their crimes and having their rights limited during incarceration. I can even support limiting the rights of parolees because they are on a probationary release. But once an individual has completed their parole, they should have all of their rights as a citizen reinstated. In most cases, a felon permanently loses their right to vote, their right to own firearms, and by being required to disclose their felon status, lots of them have trouble finding meaningful work because people refuse to hire them, even when the conviction has no connection to the job they're applying for. The system is basically designed to create repeat offenders because we won't allow them to rejoin society as equals, ever. If a person cannot be trusted to rejoin society, they shouldn't have even been let out of prison in the first place. If they've done their time, then let them move on with their life unimpeded.
There's a lot to unpack there. And before I forget, I want to talk about the one part that they said about finding employment. If an employer runs a background check on you and something comes back and it doesn't have anything to do with the crime and the conviction, have nothing to do with the role that you'll be performing, or doesn't impact it or correlate in any way, usually they're not going to take a look at that. But to say that, you know, they said, you know, somebody making one mistake could fuck up their life forever. Yeah, that's life, right? If I decide that I want to drive 180 in my new car and I crash and I die, well, I made one mistake, but there's fucking consequences to it. So you get in a fight with somebody, you beat them to death, you're a murderer forever. One mistake, but you gotta fucking live with that. So to me, that's a cop out answer. You know, one mistake. Yeah, I touched a little kid once. I don't ever want to hear that. What mm-hmm. the fuck do you mean? Mm-hmm. And then talking about violent offenders should never be able to own firearms again. I completely agree with that.
Right.
Like, why? You're giving a person who already had problems controlling their anger a fucking killing machine. Makes sense.
We talked about one-time offenders and how if they did something one time, they should be given the chance to rehab themselves and become a better person.
Right. And but we were talking about that in the case of levels. This person is talking about period, point blank.
Mm.
Hey, one mistake does this. So a violent offender that beats the shit out of their wife, they come out and now they have all their rights again and can own firearms and can threaten this person's life again if they're still in their life, or they could end up stalking them. You know, it's too much can happen.
Right. So you think that that one offense is too bad to allow them the excuse of, oh, it was just one time, though, but it was still pretty bad. So we're going to throw that person in the category with the rapists and the murderers and the molesters, right? Violent offenders like that. That did it once.
Yeah, I think all of this should have levels and categories, right? Like, if you're a violent offender, it's probably best that you shouldn't own firearms again. I do think there needs to be more work done on being able to get these people employment, because the one thing that they talked about that I agree with is creating a cycle at times. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to agree with your full statement, but you can make great points that I can agree with and get on board with.
Right.
And voting shouldn't be a privilege in this country. You should be automatically enrolled to vote when you turn 18. Now, if you do something like what we just discussed in this conversation to lose that right, it should be a right, not a privilege. But you should be able to lose it if you commit certain crimes and you are a convicted felon and you've done certain things. Yeah, I agree with that. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was just a little tangent there, how I felt about voting.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think that we made some good points in this episode. And the point that I liked that you brought up on this episode is that applying for, you know, voting rights again, if we're letting you out and we're saying that it's rehab, you served your time, so now you can apply to this system to get your voting rights back, kind of like people have to apply for their visa so they can get, you know, stay in this country. So maybe that's something we should look into. Because, I don't know, I do feel some type of way about people that pay their debt to society. Like you said, that's what we call it, their debt to society. So you're free, or at least that's what you should be. So I don't know why we're still punishing them by stripping away their rights. And I'm not saying that they're like great people or whatever, but if we have a system in place that's supposed to be rehab, part of rehab is learning from your mistakes and becoming a better person from that. Certain people can be saved, but like we said, certain people are too far gone and they're in the category that cannot get their rights back.
Right. And exactly. And I mean, we could talk about, you know, creating that cycle. We could talk about the prison industrial complex, but we don't got enough time. We're going to end this episode now. We don't got enough time to go into that.
Honestly, we brought up some good ideas. Do y'all agree? Do y'all disagree? If y'all have thoughts on anything that we said in this episode, please, please, please don't be shy. Let us know your thoughts. Even if you disagree, like, we love hearing from you guys and seeing what different perspectives y'all bring to what we say on this show. And I always say we don't have all the answers. We're just starting a dialogue on this show. This is the point of the podcast, to have, you know, interesting conversations like these. So if you felt compelled, if the spirit moves you, as Dante says, hit us up, hit up the anonymous question bank and ask us something. Subscribe to the show. Y'all leave us a rating too. It's been a minute. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating. We love to see it. But no, I think this episode was really interesting.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for the engagement, the support. You know, we do it for you guys. We enjoy doing it. And as long as you're enjoying it, we're enjoying it. It's going to keep coming to you. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends to tell their friends about it. Anonymous questions, send in more of them. We love interacting with y'all and reading them and giving you answers. And if you wrote in one before and we answered your question, write in again and tell us what you thought about the answer and how it played out for you. I want the follow up. Like, that's what I'm dying for. I want mm-hmm. the follow up. I'm nosy.
Right.
When it comes to this, you brought me into it. You can't not share with me now because you brought me into it.
It's almost like teasing us. Like, how are y'all going to tease us with the juicy listener question and then not tell us how it ended? Like, come on, you cannot do that.
Right. Yeah, that's not cool. But write in, give us the listener questions. But for Justin, I'm Dante. It's been another episode of Polar Opposites, and we will catch you on the next one.
Bye, guys.